Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, senior pastor at Briarwood Presbyterian Church. Well, this is a new endeavor. One of our elders said that, hey, why don't we, in place of our Sunday evening, we're gathering 10 people and doing Lord's Day morning worship and then sending it out to everybody that we can with worship guides. And we're doing other things, providing resources. They said, but, you know, Pastor, Sunday nights is a big deal for us at Briarwood. So why don't we have something for people on Sunday night? So that's why you're receiving this at 6 p.m. And of course, it'll be available as it's posted if you'd like to follow up or send it to other folks. And what they wanted to do was something to answer questions that so many people during this present distress, is what I call it, are having multiple questions. And they said, could you kind of answer those or find a way to answer those? And I said, I think that's a great idea. So what we decided was that I would be available, and our executive pastor, Bruce Stallings, and we will walk our way through the questions that you send to us. And we'll be telling you how to do that, but we're looking forward to doing that. Now, any Sunday evening, of course, is an exposition of God's Word. So I thought there would be a great passage for us to keep in front of us as we have this verse, Conversations on This Present Distress with Harry and Bruce. And that word would be from one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Romans, my favorite chapter in the book of Romans, and that's chapter 8. And one of those glorious moments where the question is, can anything in this broken world separate us from our Savior? And this is what it says in Romans 8. And who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? For I'm convinced that neither death, nor famine, nor peril, nor sword, any created thing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. No, in these things we are more than conquerors. And that includes the coronavirus and all of the challenges. This cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. It only takes us deeper. It takes us further. It takes us higher, because the love of Christ is relentless. So with that framework, we'll try to answer the questions. Bruce, it's good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can remind everybody first that you can submit your questions to us by email at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, Pastor, the most common question that we have gotten in this, that's been repeated several times and been asked in person oftentimes as well, is the coronavirus God's judgment on us and on the world?
Well, my answer is a qualified yes, because sickness, any sickness, is only here because of sin. And sin brings its own judgment, even the ultimate judgment of the judgment day, and the wages of sin is death, physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. So, yes, it is. Now, is this a particularly framed judgment brought upon? Well, we know it can't be and isn't just for one nation, because we've now identified this as a pandemic event. That means that doesn't deal with its lethality. That deals with its expansion and extent. That means it crosses national borders, state borders, county borders. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that they're keeping large groups from gathering, is because you don't know where all those people have come from, and they are bringing wherever they were, they're bringing that with them. And so yes, but at the same time, every crisis, you know, God is very capable of multitasking. And what God is doing is not only bringing judgment, which can be condemning judgment upon the lost and disciplining judgment upon his people to grow them in the midst of it as a test and as a crisis frames them and molds them. In fact, that's why I'm doing these series on case studies of how Christians respond to crisis. This morning we looked at Joseph. I do hope they see the multi-dynamics of what God did in the crisis that Joseph faced and how we developed that. If you haven't seen it, then go back and see it. But God also can bring not only condemning judgment and disciplining or judgment that allows us to grow as individually and as the church, but he also can give us a platform through something like this. In fact, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but there was a 40% growth of the church in the Roman Empire. This is the moment that it exploded in the Roman Empire. And it was in the 3rd and 4th centuries. There were two plagues, the Antonini Plague and the Cyprian Plague. And everyone notes in the history books what Christians did in those moments, how they responded. And they're fearless and faithful. Now, they were prudent, but they were fearless and faithful to respond. People were thrown out in the streets, and they would feed them. They would nurse them. They would give them elementary nursing care. And the gospel deeds opened the door for the gospel words. Now, gospel deeds don't save anyone. You got to have words. Faith comes by hearing, and you're saved by faith, so you got to have hearing. And those things were happening. So I believe judgment, yes, the judgment of sin, if nothing else. And then, but it's also a platform, and we can manifest and display the grace of God in gospel deeds and gospel words. And by the way, Bruce, we're already getting a lot of reports of how God's people at Briarwood are doing that, and I want to encourage them all the more. I made 4 phone calls on the way here, and on my way, I talked to 4 individuals, and they said, Pastor, thanks for offering, but we've already been taken care of, and we're helping some neighbors with the same help that we were given.
Praise the Lord. Our members are way ahead of us on that.
Right.
That does bridge to another question. So someone emailed in, you referenced Martin Luther's response during the plague last Sunday in your sermon, and you've referenced how other Christians have responded to similar situations. Where can we go to study this, and what would we expect to learn?
Well, not to overload my emails, but if you'll email me, I can give you some books to read that record these moments in church history. And, by the way, in secular history, they record them if they're honest at all in reporting history. Like the one I used Sunday a week ago, Reverend Richard Allen, the African-American pastor, who would not run. In fact, he took black prisoners, African-American prisoners, and his congregation and ministered in the yellow fever plague that had taken out 10% of the city. And that was done by this pastor of the Mother Emmanuel Church, which to me was showed up again in Charleston when the murderous rampage that took place, racist rampage that took place in the Mother Emmanuel Church, and the godly way they responded to it. They're imaging and reflecting their very founder, Reverend Richard Allen. There's a wonderful YouTube out there on how John Calvin trained the company of pastors to respond to the plagues in Geneva. Now, Martin Luther, it was just the reason I read that was because it was so pointed. Here's what it said. He said this, I am going to pray for God to deliver us from this plague. And then I'm going to fumigate my house.
Yeah, right.
So trust God and act responsibly, because God works through means. And so now he can work above means. That's what we call miracles. But he also works through means. That's what we call providence. And he said, and I'll buy my medicines. I'll take my medicines. I'll do all of the things I'm supposed to. I will not go places and infect people. And because it was contagious, this particular plague that he faced in the 16th century. But then he said, but if the people have a need that I need to be there, I'll go to the place and the person, knowing that I come having properly protected myself so that I can come not to infect them, but to take care of them. And so it was a great example for pastoral response and, I think, to some degree, the Christian response.
Amen. The next question is one that I believe we all have. Now, only a few of us, or a few of them, because I haven't articulated to anybody, are willing to actually ask this question out loud. Someone writes in and says, Scripture directs us not to be anxious about anything, but this is very difficult with the constant news, restrictions, predictions regarding the coronavirus. What can I do to combat anxiety?
Well, first of all, let's make something clear. When Paul says don't be anxious, the same Paul that wrote, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, is the same Paul that said, here are my concerns for the church. So Paul realizes in a broken world, we're going to have concerns. What he says you need to get rid of is fear, because fear paralyzes you, and actually fear sets you up to receive what you're fearful of. What you fear will come upon you. As one famous man said, never take counsel from your fears. And then he says, an anxiety, which is kind of like the baby sister of fear. Don't give that any root in your life. But all Paul is doing is picking up on what Jesus said. How many of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your stature, can add a single moment to your life? Your anxiety isn't going to solve anything. Now, so if you got concerns, again, act prudently. God has given means. Physical means in God's common grace, medicine, rest, learning to isolate, learning to quarantine, learning to what medicines to take and what to do. But then you trust the Lord. But in trusting the Lord, you don't tempt the Lord. And you're prudent, but you don't panic. You are fearless because you're faithful. So as one guy said, and I think this is a good insight. If you'll feed your faith with God's word and prayer, and surrender to the Holy Spirit, feed your faith, then your fears will starve. But if you feed your fears, then your faith is going to diminish. So that's what I think we're called to do. I'm not telling you that, don't look at this like fate is going to handle this. And don't, you know, people say, well, things are going to work out. No, things don't work out. What God works in all things. And that's your trust, is that God's doing something in this. Our responsibility is to be found faithful. That's what we're called to be, and that's what we're called to do. And say no to anxiety. It's not going to change anything. Say yes to responsibility, and yes to trusting and surrendering to the Lord.
I've spoken with a few people in the last couple of days who are processing and trying to wrestle their way through the dealing with anxiety. One of the things that came out of all those conversations is almost all of them were glued to the 24/7 news channel, news cycle, and just hanging on every word. And so I think practically a suggestion would be pick your times to do that. It's going to be there. The news is going to be available. You can do it a few times a day, but not 24/7. And obviously, prioritize your walk with the Lord and your time in the Word and with others. But also, get outside. Now, it may just be outside in your own yard, but get outside and refresh a little bit.
Right. That's back to, are you feeding your fears or are you feeding faith? Listen, I know you need the news. Here's what my suggestion is. This is what I do, so maybe it may be helpful. Find one news source that is reasonably thoughtful and balanced and reports the news, does not want to make the news or be a part of the news. Find that source. When do they give their comprehensive report during the day? And listen to it then. You can maybe look for one more source that can come to you at certain times on your iPhone. After that, get away from this television. Get away from this 24-hour cycle where people are just trying to get you to listen so they can sell more advertising. That they're feeding your fears and your panic. Just don't do that. Get solid information from a solid resource. And then, like you said, go outside and play with the kids. There's this property that's for sale up here that's still wooded. It's about 5 acres. And I was watching a family walk their kids through the woods that maybe never do that. Don't get into computer isolation games and TV binging. Now, I'm not telling you don't watch TV, but don't do this binge watching. Just get out and get something done. And boy, that's an exciting. But most of all, make sure you're spending time in the Word personally and with your family.
Amen. You spoke in your sermon this morning about, which, by the way, was very good and very helpful. I know for me personally and from the people that I've spoken to, but you spoke about God's providences, emphasis on providence says, which you emphasized this morning, his ability to work all things together for good. There's a plurality of purposes. Someone asked, while we don't know his ultimate plans and purposes in all of this, what do you see as the potential good to come out of this for his children?
Well, let me tell you what won't happen. Okay, I'm getting these things. Hey, the church is now coming to the 21st century. digitally and electronically. And this is the wave of the future. No, it's not. What we're doing in streaming these worships are, first of all, we're still having gathered worship. It's just not space limitation. We've got a medical and social limitation. But and now we're taking advantage of the best thing we've got to send it to you. But listen, it's not the same. Pastoral preaching without being with your pastor is not the same. Fellowship and singing, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and it is not the same. God's people have been called out of sin to Christ together. We are the ecclesia. One of the words for church comes from the Old Testament synagogue. It's called, we're called a synagogue. That means the called together ones. That's what we are. We are the called together ones in the Lord. So I what we're doing is a remedy. It's not renovation. It's not a new norm. This is a remedy that we have in place. So that's not going to happen. God's people will gather on the Lord's Day. Do not neglect. Well, we haven't neglected the gathering. We are having to adjust the gathering. But do not neglect the gathering of yourselves together as the habit of some. But let me tell you what can happen. While they're on Sundays getting our worship guide, maybe families will get pretty excited about having family worship.
Amen.
And preparing for Lord's Day worship. And then having family worship. In fact, we're going to follow up this present distress with some family worship ideas in our conference on theology and life in August as well. And then getting time to do your personal. You know, one of the things, Bruce, I know you disciple and teach in a small group. And the thing that gets back whenever you talk to people, you need a quiet time. You need a family worship.
That's right.
You need to get some exercise. Well, I'm just so busy. Well, now you're not. With one little cell, God just emptied your schedule for you. Now you can go back and recalibrate. Now you can go out and say, okay, here's my quiet time. Here's my sacred space. Here's my sacred place. Here's my sacred time. I'm going to meet with the Lord. Here's when our family, now at supper, we're going to get together and read God's word and pray together. Before or after the meal, or before we go to bed. And then here's a book we're going to read. Not only can I read a book, I can read a book with my family. Here is some exercise. I've been wanting to get a regimen of exercise in my life. Now I can do it. And so you've got a little space of time to get some godly habits of physical and spiritual well-being in your life. Then you deal with the world. Create in your life bigger yeses so that when the world comes back crashing on you, you'll be able to say no.
I know you've had a busy week, and so this might be a little bit of a premature question, but how have you personally been recalibrating your week this week?
I've done exactly. What I just said is exactly what I've done. My quiet time, it's been there, but I've tried to get it rejuvenated, recalibrated, thinking my way through it. I've lengthened it a little bit. My wife and I are doing a little walk jog every day. We are spending time reading a book together. We have, like I said, selectively identified a new source once a day. We have found one program that has a wonderful whodunit. I love to solve mysteries. So we've got one little television program that we've looked at. And so that's kind of what we have done. We've stayed in touch with our kids. What do they need? And, of course, they're staying in touch with us. Daddy, you're vulnerable. You're in the vulnerable category. And so it's been wonderful to see that and do that. So physically and spiritually, we have we've upped the game and trying to get it recalibrated and set in place so that when we get back to the quote-unquote schedule the world wants us to have, we will fit it into what we now have. We won't try to fit spiritual disciplines and physical disciplines into what the world wants us to do. We're going to establish those things before the Lord, and then we'll fit in the world as it comes to us when we get back to the quote-unquote normal schedules of life.
Hasn't been sent in as a question per se by email, but I have been asked by several people. They're all of a sudden now engaging all the electronic teaching that is available, And they're asking, oh my goodness, there's a plethora.
Yeah.
How do I know what's good and bad? How do I create a filter to figure out what I should be listening to?
Well, you know, for my flock, I hope and pray as they get exposed to all of these things, because my goodness, I was telling you, I've never seen so many pastors give us insights on how to deal with everything. And that's good that they're wanting to care for their flock, but it's out on the electronic media, and it's at different levels of theological accuracy and insight. Well, number one, I hope that, you know, Bruce, we and the other pastors and our elders and deacons and small groups, we've done a good job of discipling so that people can filter out what's bad and say, no, that's not really accurate. And then also be able to appreciate what is good and is encouraging and faithful to God's word. But I want people to be careful. Just like these mechanisms of social media and electronic we can use for the glory of God, then also these same means Satan knows how to use with false prophets and false teachers. So please be careful. Test the spirits of the prophets, which is why I believe that it's very important to not only know what is being said, but who is saying it. And then I'm praying the Spirit of God with the Word of God will give you the ability to make some good decisions.
I strongly encourage people to do your Fresh Bread, your In Perspective, etc., because I think those we know the source from which they come. We sit under that preaching and teaching, and that's a reliable source to be able to apply it.
Yeah, we're not only pushing out some resources to families for their children and the youth. I'm so excited about the skits and the videos and the Bible teaching that they're doing to help parents during this time, and then staying in touch with the kids. And then the men of the covenant and the women, and then the congregational communities, all that's getting pushed out. But let me just say, shamelessly, let me promote, it's always been there. We've got our Briarwood app. Go to the Briarwood app. You got WLJR also, by the way.
Right.
But you've got your Briarwood app. If you'll go to that, and you can go to the to my page, you've got not only my blog, In Perspective blog, and the 30-minute In Perspective teaching program, but I do a 10-minute program that's daily, Monday through Friday, Issues and Events Examined from a Christian World and Life View with Gospel Solutions. A lot of people make that a habit in their life, you know, when they're going to work or coming home or at night or in the morning when they're sitting down and getting a cup of coffee. And also available is a 5-minute devotional called Fresh Bread. That's not something we've created for this. That's been there all along, and God willing, it'll be there after this present distress has been ameliorated.
Harry, we've received numerous questions about giving, which I think is encouraging because it's the heart of our congregation, church family, to want to give the tithe to the Lord and to give offerings and to help people during this time. A couple of questions that connect with each other. How do you suppose the church will be financially with the downturn of the economy and with no worship service collections? And then secondly, how do we approach tithing during this time? Will Briarwood open up online giving?
Well, thankfully, we already have it. And I'm going to let you explain that to them. But let me just say something. Listen carefully in our streaming to you and how Bruce gives the directions for how you can give. But it's still worship the Lord. This isn't, you're not, quote, giving to Briarwood. You are worshiping the Lord by bringing the tithe to the local church, Briarwood. And then we are going to continue to be good stewards of it. Our people need to know, interestingly, while all of this isolation and certain ministry initiatives are having to be done electronically, folks, the reality is because of taking care of people that can't come and isolation and work products and everything, in the bottom line, it's probably we are financially more challenged in terms of our budget and expenditures during situations like this than we are during the normal times. And you're right, the giving may go down because you don't have the gathered worship. But you know, Bruce, you said something earlier, and I have sensed that our people, they amaze me. They amaze me that in moments like this, they up their game. And so in the worship of the Lord, they bring the tithe and the offerings, and many will do what really is needed. We're going to have greater financial challenges during this time. And so if they're desiring to honor the Lord with his tithe and their offerings, and realizing we're in a challenging moment and want to be a part of that solution, y'all are a lot smarter than me. How can they do that?
Right. So if you go on our webpage, you'll find on the homepage of our website, you will see five different ways that you can give to Briarwood. You click on the link and it shows you these are the five ways that you can give to Briarwood. The first one is obvious. It's in person. The problem is it's limited to 10 people now. The second one is to give by mail. So you write a check just as you always could, and mail is still running. So you can write a check and send your offering of the Lord's tithe in that way. The third one is where we begin our electronic giving. And we're so grateful for the deacons working that through last fall. What a blessing, especially who knew this was coming, but right. What a blessing it is. In the electronic giving, the third way would be that you do it by bank draft. So you can go online. It shows you the instructions right there. You do a draft directly from your bank account, directly to ours here at the church. It is safe and it is easy to do, and so you can do that. The fourth is an online giving transaction using a credit or debit card, and it'll walk you through those instructions to be able to do that. And then the fifth is stocks and securities, and that's been in place, so you can give in that manner as well.
Right.
So last question.
By the way, if they say, hey, I'm still in need of help, what would they do?
Absolutely. If you'll just email us or call us at the church, then we'll have a person call you back. We will literally walk you through that and help you to be able to do that. We promise not to send you another list of what might be confusing instructions, but we'll call you and talk you through that and help you be able to do that. So that's my last question for you, Pastor. This morning you preached to 10 people in a room that seats 2,500. So just, what was that like? I know it was awkward, but what was that like, and what surprised you about that?
You know, I said to you, and I really meant it, as you know, I don't sleep well on Saturday night right. because of the awesomeness of handling God's word for God's people. Mm-hmm. And I want to be faithful to this congregation in the preaching and teaching of God's word so that it's faithful, it's persuasive, it's understandable. And so I labor at that, and I thank all of them that pray for me to do that, and that the Lord would be pleased in the handling of his word. And I wondered how I would feel doing that, knowing there were going to be 10 people. Well, my wife said, honey, I've watched you. I've watched you with 6 people in the jungles of Uganda, and I've watched you with 6, 7, 8,000. And she said, you're the same. I said, but honey, I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden, I began to get nervous, even more than usual. Why would I be so nervous for 10 people? And I think it was two things. One is I want to treat this like I would if this place was overflowing with attendance. And because this is God's word, and these are God's people, whether it's 10 or 10,000. And then secondly, then the back of my mind, I know, I mean, we've gotten, even from last week, the number of people that are connecting to Briarwood's pulpit ministry and Lord's Day worship is just went out the roof. And in fact, we've had to kind of arrange a schedule because the people on the East Coast have asked, is there any way you can get this to us in a timely way on Sunday morning? And I've got communications from the West Coast, Colorado, California, Texas. And realizing that was in play as well. So but, you know, the Lord, I think, really blessed us and in such a way that only he receives the glory.
Amen. Well, you didn't appear to be nervous. Right. So, well, I will say this, remind everybody, you can send your questions in to ask the pastor briarwood.org, and we'll look forward to answering some more next week.
So, folks, thanks for being with us. Hopefully this has been helpful for you on a Sunday night. Now, don't forget, we're going to be back Sunday evening worship, hopefully sooner than we expect. And you can make Sunday evening worship here is just very special. And we'll be back to that when the schedule allows. But in the meantime, conversations on this present distress with Harry and Bruce, thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to spend these moments with you. Our greatest desire is actually what we are able to sing before the Lord. And in Lord's Day worship, we sing it. Lord, you be our vision. Help us fix our eyes on Jesus. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, all fear subside and you begin to see, here is the next right thing for me to do. To love him, to love my neighbor, and to declare the gospel in word and deed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.